This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Right now, if you do call in, you should have a question for our guest that we have on. Special guest tonight, Ryan Sovereign. He is the lead strategist for Dash Incubator. And as we mentioned in the last hour, Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash. And they are a sponsor of the show. We've talked a lot in recent weeks about some of the cool features of Dash. And, of course, we will continue to do that, but we actually have one of the folks who is all the way into Dash. I mean, he is, as he said, he's not a maximalist. You know, he's open to other things, probably has some other cryptos, I would guess. But Dash, to him, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but this is my understanding, is the most likely to sort of hold that the trophy of being the most useful cryptocurrency as far as actually using it as a currency. That is what they've been focusing on for a long time. And of course, it's the Dash, their autonomous organization, the decentralized autonomous organization, the DAO, that makes all of what they do possible. It funds the Dash Incubator. It funds anything that anyone with one Dash, it used to cost five Dash, by the way. They changed that number to just one Dash. So anybody that's got an idea for what they want to see Dash do in the future, whether it be an advertising campaign like here on Free Talk Live or some sort of new program or changing the rules of how Dash works, all you got to do is make a proposal. You just pony up one Dash. Right now that's like 40-something bucks, and you make your proposal, and the Dash masternodes vet that proposal. They're going to ask some tough questions. And if they agree with it, they vote for it. If they don't, they're going to vote it down. And if it passes, then it gets implemented. And that's how we got this sponsorship here, and that's why the Dash DAO is sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org and learn about Dash. But we're also talking with Ryan Sovereign here with us from his home in Utah. And thanks for staying on into extra time here, Ryan. I know that, like you said, you've got a family there, so hopefully we'll be able to wrap this up. But I realized we hadn't even really talked about the banks,
dun, dun, right?
Like getting out from underneath this old money system. And I do want to discuss that, but we actually have a couple calls who have questions for you. So we're going to go to the phones here and talk to Shortwave Surfer. He's on our SIP line at sip.freetalklive.com. Go ahead, Shortwave Surfer.
So a couple of things. You guys brought up the conversation of Monero versus Dash and the inflation versus deflation curve. And you guys were mentioning the fact that, like, as the issuance occurs, it is slightly inflationary. But then as coins are lost through accidents and private key loss and things like that, you get kind of a balance out where there's a equilibrium set where, yes, you're getting more coins being issued, but you're also losing coins at the same time. Mm-hmm. My questions for you, I think it's Ryan, mm-hmm. are, with the Dash DAO, are you concerned at all about regulators? Because I know that regulators don't seem to like very much people and organizations that have, like, these fees that go to an organization that can be centrally controlled, like, by some group of people. They don't seem to like that, and they seem to go after that really, really hard.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Oh, I would say they're more concerned about organizations that can be decentrally controlled. What they have to say is that, you know, that we're looking out for, we're regulators and we're trying to help keep people safe from whatever scams
or
whatever.
That's not true, but
they're honestly more concerned about people being able to live lives independently from them. And which is exactly kind of what Dash offers, at least to a small amount of people like myself that have successful proposals and are essentially working for the cryptocurrency. Are we concerned about regulators? Of course. It's always a concern when people threaten your life, as I'm sure many here in this call can attest to. But, you know, it's like a balance that you have to strike with anything. There obviously is good and evil in the world, and I consider these regulators mostly to be just evil, bad people.
Absolutely.
That are trying to ruin lives.
Well, I mean, the shot has already come across the bow. We reported a few weeks ago when I believe it was in, God, I don't even remember which case it was, Bittrex. I think it was the SEC versus Bittrex, where they specifically singled out Dash. There were a few other cryptos they mentioned, but I didn't recognize them. But I definitely saw Dash in there, and they claim that Dash is a so-called security, which just seems absolutely ridiculous to me. It's not a case against Dash. They haven't sued, you know, any Dash-related people or Dash's organizations or anything like that. They just made the allegation in this other case against this one cryptocurrency exchange. They claimed that Dash is a quote-unquote security. So there's definitely a shot across the bow. Whether that portends whether they're going to actually try to target Dash in some way, shape, or form is another question. But I mean, the reality is, even if they did do that, the fact is Dash is decentralized, even though there are, you know, there's what, like 4,000 something masternodes out there. They're not all based in the United States. It takes quite a bit. I mean, in the original days, it would have been cheap to get a masternode at 1,000 Dash, but now it's a little pricey. So, I mean, to get into that particular aspect of sort of controlling Dash, you have to be pretty serious about it. I don't think the SEC is going to just start buying up masternodes to outvote the existing structure. So, I mean, even if they do come at Dash, what's the worst that that you think might happen?
Well, I think that, you know, they want it to be classified as a security so that they can make it miserable for people to use it in a daily setting like it was intended to do. It's obviously not a security, but they want it to be a security so that basically people can't use it. And, you know, it all kind of depends on how dystopian our alternatives are. Like, the more dystopian the U.S. dollar system becomes, the more people are going to look for alternatives, regulations be damned. But that said, you know, everybody does want it not to be regulated. They're going to do what they're going to do, but I'm not going to live my life thinking, you know, am I violating some obscure clause in, you know, some regulatory law book? I'm just not going to live my life that way, and I don't think a lot of other people are going to either. It will come down to the threats of violence, obviously, at some point. And, you know, if I'm at some point required to not ever touch cryptocurrency, like our friend, I can't even believe that you're not allowed to use cryptocurrency, Ian, but.
Yeah, it's ironic because, like, if I were accused of robbing a bank or something like that, they would still let me use the dollar while I was awaiting trial.
Right, yeah.
But,
it's super ridiculous. Yeah. Where do they come up with these things?
Well, you know, I think it's very much like our current regulatory cloud of uncertainty. A lot of it just comes down, I think, to the fact that they have no idea what this is. They have no idea what it's capable of, what it can do, or how it works. And since they don't know how it works, oh, you are a wizard. Well, don't let him have his wand. There we go.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to shoehorn the internet into whatever framework they created for the Telegraph. It's
That's literally different. Securities law is almost 100 years old.
Yeah.
It's seriously.
Yeah, I think that's a charitable way to put it. Like, they don't know what they're doing. I tend to think that they do know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. They're trying to stifle competition to the U.S. dollar, which, you know, we are. And that's really what they're trying to do. And I think that they do know what they're doing. I don't subscribe to the naive theory that, regulators are just trying to do their best, and they're kind of bumbling
idiots.
No doubt.
Thank you, Shortwave Surfer, for the call tonight. I do appreciate it. Let's get into the banks as a question here, because I know that was something you'd wanted to talk about, and that is to say the idea of phasing out, I think was the terminology that the Dash Incubator account used, the legacy banks. I mean, one of the original visions for Bitcoin as a currency was that we'd be able to undermine the banks. We don't need them anymore. We can, you know, walk away from it. We were talking earlier about creating an infrastructure so businesses can accept cryptocurrencies, so people can get paid in cryptocurrency and sort of close that loop so people don't always have to be checking in and out by using the on and off ramps into and out of fiat currency. We know the banks are in trouble financially because of the whole fiat system with the interest rate hikes after the zero interest rates for a very, very long time. And we've seen, three banks, I think, crumble in just the last couple of months or two or three months.
The ones doing the teeter-totter.
We're hoping, at least. Where do you want to go with this? I know you wanted to comment on it, so I'll just give the open question.
Yeah, I don't actually specifically have any agenda with the banks necessarily. I know that we tweeted that out. It was specifically Amanda that runs our Dash Incubator account. She kind of phrased it that way, but I'm more just looking for better solutions. I'm not really out to demolish the banks. I just want to build something better in their stead so that we don't need to use them. And I think that's, you know, self-custody solutions. But I will say that, you know, along the political spectrum, you have a lot of people who hate corporations, and they're typically called the left, and they think corporations are evil. And then you have people on the right, and this is a grand oversimplification, obviously, and then the people on the right, they hate the government, and they want the government out of anything. But the reality of the situation is that we are ruled in this country and pretty much every country by an unholy alliance of both corporations and governments. And the nexus of that unholy alliance is central banking.
Yeah.
That is the marriage between government and corporations, because corporations these days, they are not much more than an extension and extension offices of the government.
Sure.
Why? Because that's where they get their funding. They get their funding from, like, corporations mostly get their funding not from consumers, but from bankers. They get loans at very cheap interest rates and are able to sustain their operations and grow their operations until you get to megacorps like Google and Microsoft that are owning the world and that are governments unto themselves, but they're really just subsidiaries to our United States governments through the central banking system and the commercial banking system. That whole thing has to end. And the only way to end that is to come up with a better alternative banking system and economic system. And that's exactly what I'm talking about with Dash. Not just with Dash, but with any cryptocurrency that wants to tackle this. We need a system that does something very similar to what our traditional economy does. And our traditional economy, how it works is the government gets money, the commercial banking system gets money from the central banks. Then they're able to make loans to corporations, and then those corporations grow to be very, very big. And they don't really need customers at that point. And so they hire people to basically spy on America. And that's kind of what we have with the technocracy aspect, what we have with these huge corporations. And why does it work? Well, because you can just employ a bunch of people from this money that's printed out of thin air. But the problem is that it's bad people that are doing this. And so the counter to this, and like the optimistic side of it, is that we can do the same thing, just being controlled by the good people. So it's kind of like firearms, you know. Firearms are not good or bad. It depends on who's wielding the firearm, mm-hmm. and what they're trying to do with it. I think of the same thing with printing presses. You know, the printing press is not good or bad. It's who wields the printing press and what they're funding with the printing press. And we know that the Federal Reserve has a monopoly on money creation right now. But if we had a printing press ourselves, like something like Dash with the super block system that we've talked about, if we could expand that even beyond the sacred coin supply curve that was just created by one person 10 years ago, then we could have a system where anybody who wants to create value in the economy, in our new economy of good people economy, anybody who wants to create value, we create money for them, just like in the old system where they just create money and they fund bad people to do bad things. Hmm. We can create money, fund good people to do good things.
And of course, one of the key differences is that the old system, you're forced to use. You know, you're under the gun, literally. There's a gun to your head saying if you have a debt with somebody, you have to accept our dollar in payment for that debt. Whereas with cryptocurrency, if you like the vision of Dash, if you like the direction that it's going in, you can support it. If you don't like it, you're not obligated to. No one from Dash is ever going to show up at your front door with men with guns and a paddy wagon to throw you in a cage. And that's because the competition is big time in the cryptocurrency field. There's so many different options. It's actually overwhelming how many options they have. Now, with this idea of changing the issuance, changing the treasury amounts, is that something that's as simple as making a proposal to the masternodes and then it gets implemented? I mean, is it just, you know, if you have one Dash, you could in theory throw this out there?
It would, and that's how you would do it. Is you would put in a proposal, you'd make your pitch, and you'd say, I think we should do this. And, you know, this is just software. Software can always be changed. Now, I haven't put that proposal in. Why not? Because I don't think that people are ready for this yet. Hmm. People are still way too steeped in this idea of, well, because the government money printer goes burr and does that to such a degree that it dilutes the purchasing power of dollars, they think that because the government doing that, wielding their printing press, that all printing presses must be bad, and we must not be able to do that. Therefore, we have to cap our supply. But all that does is it makes it an insular system where the people that got in really early in the mining, they own all the coins, and like your co-host was saying, they, you know, in a system that's like proof of stake or in a system that like Dash, the masternode owners, they get coins just for holding coins. Well, they get more coins and they get more coins. So it becomes a system where it's just a few people that want to get rich from a few other small retail people that are buying their bags. I don't want that kind of system.
I'm confused here. How does removing the total cap change that?
Removing the total cap changes that because let's say let's take an extreme example to illustrate the point. Let's say that every corporation, every business in New Hampshire. Let's say we put in a proposal and we said, hey, we want to convert all of your businesses to just be completely Dash, the Dash economy businesses. You're going to pay all your employees in Dash. Those employees are then going to spend it at other places around New Hampshire, and we're going to create a circular economy there. That's all going to, like, the cost to do that would be enormous. But what would be the benefit? We would have to create a bunch of coins to do that. But what would be the benefit? The benefit would be a bunch of new people would get some coins. And, you know, you could extend this to even like just all of New Hampshire. We want to create all of New Hampshire businesses into a Dash economy. It's a silly, contrived example, but it's illustrating the point that you're getting new users. You're creating coins and getting new users. That does dilute the existing coin holders But that's a good thing because you're bringing more people into the Dash economy.
But you have to remember, Pekles, he had a twofold proposal. So on one side, he wanted to get rid of the cap of the ultimate maximum amount of Dash.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, he also wanted to increase the Dash treasury. Right now, every block, 10% goes into this monthly treasury where there's a budget and people make proposals for.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to increase that and essentially take that away from the miners and maybe some from the masternodes. I'm not sure exactly where you know what your proposal would be there. But the idea would be that extra treasury money would be how other people would be creating value with Dash, whether they're doing advertising for it.
I still don't see, even with both of those, I don't see how that negates the, like very much like you were saying, okay, so you get in early, you get a bunch of the early mining when it's nice and easy, you put a bunch of those in these masternodes, so you're staking it, so you're getting more and more because of this staking process. Okay, so you still have this same group of people just getting richer and richer, getting a larger and larger portion of the Dash as time goes on. Now, if you cap it or not, you still end up with that as the outcome. If you change the amount that gets spent by the decentralized autonomous organization or not, you still have that problem.
Okay, so what I'm suggesting here... and again, this is I'm nowhere near ready to propose this. I'm just kind of firing this off to your folks here because I think it's an interesting concept. What I'm proposing is not increasing necessarily the amount that's going to the masternodes. I'm proposing to increase the amount that's going to people who are making proposals. So let's just take an example. Like, sorry, I don't know your name, the other co-host.
Pekles Mountaineer.
Pekles Mountaineer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you do?
Massage therapy.
Massage therapy. Okay. So what if we had you be paid? What if Dash paid you to do your job? So like we want a massage therapist that is accepting Dash. And we need to get you set up for that. And basically, we want you to be able to give massages to anybody who's willing to pay in Dash. You might already do that already, but what I'm saying is you're providing value.
Loudly and proudly. I'm happy to get crypto. Well, my issue, though, is like not that like there are all of these amazing things that you can definitely do by having this decentralized autonomous organization, by funding it better as you're proposing. I get that, but I don't see how that changes the problem of the stakers getting a greater and greater accumulation of the total Dash as time goes on.
Well, I think there's also an important thing here, and that is that the people who are running masternodes are not just stakers, right? They're actually performing a service for the network. And I don't know if you... Do you have time to keep this conversation going, Ryan?
Sure, yeah.
All right, so we're going to keep this going here, and hopefully we can clear this up, if possible. Because I think it's an excellent objection, and it's a good, tough question here. We'll continue that here in moments, and if you want to join the show, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. Ryan Sovereign is with us from Dash Incubator. There's more on the way. It is free. Talk Live.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
U.S.
USA News Update. The Texas House today voted to impeach Attorney General Ken Paxton. The vote was 121-23, with Paxton now suspended from office pending a Senate trial, which reportedly will take place this evening. CNN reports President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy were having a phone conversation this evening about the debt ceiling, as the U.S. could begin defaulting on its debts as soon as June 5th. The day started with McCarthy saying he was seeing progress to get a deal done. Vice President Kamala Harris has become the first woman to deliver the commencement address at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. The graduating cadets at today's ceremony were commissioned as new second lieutenants in the U.S. Army. The Little Mermaid was projected to win the weekend in its debut, with more than $120 million in U.S. and Canadian theaters. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. Here, 603-283-6160. If you have a question for Ryan Sauber, he's with us from Dash Incubator. You can join us online, of course, over at freetalklive.com. If you appreciate what we do here on Free Talk Live, you can join our AMPS program. It's Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. That's what AMPS stands for. David Ziantara is a platinum-level supporter of AMPS. And that means that David is contributing way more than what we ask. We only ask for $5 a month. He's doing 25. So thank you, David, for supporting what we do here on Free Talk Live. You can do that over at amps.freetalklive.com. That takes you to our Patreon. You can get signed up there with your debit card, credit card, or your PayPal account. Unfortunately, we can't take cryptocurrency at the moment due to the various different government threats against us. But I do appreciate David helping us out there. And, of course, you can also contribute, if you don't like Patreon, you can go through our Odyssey channel over at video.freetalklive.com. And that way Odyssey benefits instead of Patreon benefiting from the fees and such. You can do that by clicking the join button at the top of the page on our Odyssey channel at video.freetalklive.com.
Com. So we have Ryan with us here from Utah. He stuck with us, but you know what I did? I didn't write down what we were just talking about, so I've completely spaced. Were we in the middle of a question?
Yeah, yeah. I was asking how this would change the problem of, like, especially early stakers, since they got a larger portion of the stake. But in general, the problem of stakers getting more of the currency and that just accumulating more and more and thus centralizing Dash more and more.
And you're referring to Ryan's proposal to sort of open up Dash as far as not having a limit of maximum limit of Dash, which is currently 18 million, and also increasing to the Treasury more than just 10% of the mining rewards, which in theory could allow for more things like sponsoring Free Talk Live or whatever. So with that question, Ryan, go ahead with your thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah, I made the mistake of trying to use an example for your job, Peakless Mountaineer, because you're already doing that. So let me use a better example. Let's say Elon Musk tweets at us and says, "Hey, just discovered this Dash project. I would like to integrate this into all of Twitter's platforms. And we'll do tipping in Dash, and we'll pay our content creators in Dash, and all this stuff, right? How much money do you think that would cost just to do? How much money do you think that would cost either Elon's team or anybody to execute that? $1 million? $2 million.
You mean like programming
know.
The changes and rolling
it's
them
all
out?
The that changes.
Kind of, it'd be a huge investment.
Like accounting changes, all that kind of stuff.
Seems pretty simple programming to me, but.
Well, okay, they've got a big operation. Probably cost more than $100,000. Can you go with me on that?
Okay,
for sure.
Okay, going to cost a lot of money just to implement that. And let's say he doesn't want to do it, but he wants Dash to fund it. He wants to put in a proposal and say, "Hey, I want to do this. Can you fund Twitter to do it? Because, you know, Twitter's on life support right now, and we're trying to find ways to make it profitable. So can Dash help us fund this?" And we have to say, actually, we can't, because we have this weird limit. And even though we know that if that actually happened, Dash's price might double, but we can't give you. $500,000 or $100,000 worth of Dash for you to do this. Sorry. So that's the problem with the limit right now in our super block. Right now, I think the limit is something like 4,000 Dash per mm-hmm. month, or 4,500. So
sounds
4,500
right.
Times $45, $200,000 a month. So we could, you know, if it cost him $1 million, yeah, maybe we could have put in a 4 month proposal, but then that squeezes every other proposal out. And so you have this problem. So maybe you need to make it a 12-month proposal. Maybe then he's walking away from the table. Whereas, you know, if we could just create that, whatever, $1 million, let's just say, is what he's asking for, and divide that by $45 per Dash, he's asking for 22,000 Dash. Okay. Would creating that 22,000 Dash, would that increase the price of Dash, or would that decrease the price? And then to getting to your question, is that 22,000 Dash, is that going to current Masternode owners? No, it's going to Elon Musk and his team of programmers, all of which are new users. And so that's actually increasing the distribution of Dash. So it's actually making the coin distribution more fair. It's not going to the Masternode owners. It's going to these proposal owners that are asking for the money. So that's – I don't know if that answers your question, but
nope.
That's kind of the spirit of what I'm proposing here is –
Like I get how that would increase the desire for it, how that would advance it, how that would be good for the world. I get how that would do a lot of things. What I don't get is, okay, let me give you a hypothetical here. Let's say I'm one of the very early Dash miners, and I managed to get not like a majority or anything, but like a larger amount than anyone happens to have, and I put it all in my Masternode, right? So now I'm getting more every time it gets minted because of my masternode. And, okay, well, I'm just going to turn that around and stake some more of that in some more masternode. So how do... Can you see how that would accumulate a greater and greater amount to me as compared to anyone else?
You being an early miner and having...
Right, it's sort of a whoever's ahead in the game just gets further and further ahead in the game.
Yes, that's what happens in a pure proof-of-stake system, but that's not what we either have nor what I'm suggesting. So I don't know, maybe there's a miscommunication.
Well, I mean, this seems to do sort of a half and half between proof of stake and proof of work.
Yeah, it's half and half, like proof of stake, it's part proof of work, so part of the newly issued currency is going to miners, part of it's going to masternodes, which, you know, that's to your point, and when a masternode gets payments for the coins that he has in his savings and backing masternodes, he is able to eventually get more of the coin supply and maybe even spin up even more masternodes.
Right,
so
right.
That is part of that's the problem that you're describing.
Yes.
I'm describing the solution, whether you know it or not. What I'm saying is that there are those two parts, but there's a third part that maybe you're not familiar with. The third part is the super block, which is the treasury, which is the DAO. They go under this.
Right, the 10% that the masternode owners vote where it goes. So,
yes.
So and that actually doubles the problem with this, because if I have this masternode and I can spin up more masternodes with the dash that I'm getting from my masternode, then I end up with more and more votes on what happens to this other chunk.
Which is one reason why his proposal would be difficult to get passed, right?
So, I mean, like...
That is why it's difficult to pass, but that's because the masternode owners don't understand my explanation.
Over a long enough period of time, if I'm ahead, I end up having the vast majority of all of the dash that exists, because I can, like, a miner, like, they get their chunk, but they have to spend that. Like, some of it they have to spend on the electricity that it takes to keep mining. Some of it they have to spend to get new miners. Like, they have to, there has to be a churn with that. Whereas
yes.
with staking, there's
bills.
No churn. I don't have to spend one, I don't know what the smallest unit of a dash is.
There's a cost of running the masternodes, but it's not
spend
crazy.
A little bit to run the masternode, yeah. But I get your point. I think we actually have the same concern, but I'm not able to explain it well enough, I guess, because what I'm suggesting is that we create more coins. So let's say we change the distribution to be 33%, 33%, 33% going to each of these constituencies. Now masternodes are getting less. And the treasury is getting more, and the miners are getting less. The treasury is getting more. Where is that going? That's going to create value. Otherwise, we wouldn't be approving those projects. So there are a couple things wrong with your with my interpretation of what you're saying. The one thing is, it's not really in the interest of a masternode owner to want to. Just keep all the coins for themselves, Scrooge McDuck style. The reason is they want distribution just like everybody else wants distribution, because the perception is important. Like, nobody wants to be the Dash masternode owners don't necessarily want to be perceived as like, oh, there's only 1,000 of us that have any coins. At least in my opinion, they don't want that because that would actually be detrimental to the value of the coins they're holding.
Okay, well, then I'll just pretend to be multiple people.
Well, I will say this as somebody who's been paying attention to Dash over the years. I don't think the masternode numbers have really grown. I think they've stayed relatively steady. I know that several years ago it was around 4,000 and change, and it's still around 4,000 and change today, several years later. So if... It doesn't seem to be that they've been, you know, doubling or tripling or whatever in on the number of masternodes that are out there, whether that's for any kind of economic reason or what those reasons are. Would you say that's been true
Ryan, as long as you've been watching?
Yeah, it peaked out about 5,000 maybe a year ago, and it's been on a little bit of a decline to about 4,000, and actually I think it's less than that now. So yeah, it went up and then it's on its way back down. It's kind of leveling off now, but I'm still not sure. I mean, we probably have to spend a little bit more time getting to the crux of your concern here. I would like to help resolve that, but
well, can we also mention? I mean, what a masternode isn't just standard staking, right? Like your typical proof of stake is, as I understand, proof of stake. Anybody with a laptop or whatever can roll up whatever we're talking about, whichever coin, the proof of stake. You put the full node on your laptop or your desktop computer. You set it and you forget it. Right. And then the more you've got in the program, the more you earn in the every block that comes out or whatever the deal is. With the masternodes, you do have to these things are providing some services. As I understand it, Chainlocks, which is one of the Dash technologies that I don't think anyone else has adopted, although they probably should, to protect Dash from 51% attacks, has something to do with the masternodes, does it not?
What is that exactly?
Yeah, can you briefly explain? I mean, without I know it's technical, but can you talk about that?
There are three main features, I would say, actually probably four main features of what masternodes do. First and foremost is private send. So that was the feature that allows CoinJoin to be on the protocol and not have to have a custodial mixing service if you want privacy. So that's the first thing that masternodes do. The second thing is they offer instant send transactions, which means if I send a transaction to you, that transaction is confirmed within 1 or 2 seconds. You can then respend that and send that to somebody else 1 to 2 seconds and so forth and so forth. And so basically it's like instant settlement. Now that's one level of security for transactions. Then there's blocks, and blocks are groups of transactions. Blocks are confirmed with traditional proof of work mining in Dash, and those blocks in normal systems, like let's take Bitcoin Cash for example, a Bitcoin Cash block is not to be considered secure. Even one block, let alone a 1 to 2 second transaction propagated through the network. Even if you have one confirmation, that's not necessarily secure because chain reorganizations can happen, and then that double spends can happen through a 51% attack. We don't need to get into all the details there, but those blocks are only probabilistically going to be confirmed. In Dash, it's different. When a block is propagated through the network, the masternodes look at that block and they say, I've seen that block, and I've also seen that it's valid, that the transactions within that block are valid. I'm going to put my stamp of approval on that. And then that same thing is happening with the other 4,000 masternodes. And when a certain percentage of those masternodes say, hey, we've all seen this same block, we're just going to stamp that and say, this is the canonical next block. And anything that tries to come along and say, hey, I have a new block and it has other transactions in it that are spending coins from that previous block. The masternodes are going to say, nope, that block is not valid because we've already put our stamp of approval on this other block. That's called chain locks, and it's what prevents 51% attacks. Now you might be asking yourself, why can't we do that in Bitcoin or, you know, some of these other systems? And the answer is, you can't because you don't have masternodes. because masternodes provide the Sybil proof protection of saying it's not viable for any attacker to come along and say, I'm going to spin up 2,000 nodes and trick the system into thinking that even though there was let me back up. If you wanted to do something like that on Bitcoin Cash, an attacker could basically spin up a bunch of nodes and say, hey, I'm just as valid as the next node because a node's a node and it's free and you don't have to prove any collateral behind the node. And so you have...
And just to let listeners know, a node is a record of the previous transactions that have happened on a given blockchain.
When I say node, I mean a computer that's running the Dash software or the Bitcoin Cash software that's validating transactions. That's what I'm saying is a node.
Right. It has to have a full copy of the blockchain. So mm-hmm. It does have a copy of the blockchain.
So it, we're saying the same thing. But like in Bitcoin Cash, anybody can just spin up a full node, and it's just as valid as any other node on the network. And if you are a government that wants to take down the network or just kind of mess with it, or even if you're Bitcoin BTC Bitcoin and you're just sick and tired of Bitcoin Cash stealing your branding, and you just kind of decide, hey, let's mess with this coin because we both use the same SHA-256 hashing algorithm. We're just going to send 10% of our mining hash power, put that on the Bitcoin Cash blockchain and reverse some transactions. That could be easily done. The fact that it hasn't been done doesn't mean that it couldn't be done. It mm-hmm. could be done very easily. It's just that
now you're talking about the 51% attack in that case.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is the big fear that people have. Anybody that's done some basic research into cryptocurrency has probably learned of the 51% attack, whether they understand exactly how it works or not. But basically, you get 51% of the mining hash power on a particular network, and there's a website that'll show you what it costs if you were to just rent the hash power to take over essentially one of these smaller chains. The big claim that Bitcoin has is... What's that?
Take over the chain for a certain amount of time.
Right. And as long as you have that 51%, you can send transactions to different places and things like that and cause a lot
of
trouble.
Even transactions that have already been confirmed in other blocks, you can re-spend them and say, send that to, you know, I just sent that over to Amazon, let's say, bought a gift card for $1,000. But now I want that $1,000. I'm going to re-spend that transaction, put it back to myself. Amazon's already given me the gift card, so I have the $1,000 gift card, and I get the $1,000 of Bitcoin Cash back. You can do that. It just costs you money, and it's not worth most people's time, so it doesn't happen. But if a government wants to
involve, as you pointed out, it's for a period of time. So, you can do that, but it won't be forever. It'll be for until they catch you, basically. Until there's enough hash power on the legitimate side.
But because of the masternodes in Dash and this chain locks, Dash is protected because, like you said, you'd have to have the majority of the masternodes, right, to pull a similar scam on Dash. And in order to have just one masternode, you have to have 1,000 Dash, which is, what is that right now? That's like, is that $40,000?
Yes, $40,000.
So 1,000... Or 2,000 masternodes would be 40,000 times 2,000. Your average hacker isn't going to be able to swing that one, basically.
And not only that, because as you're purchasing those masternodes, you're pushing the price up astronomically. It's almost impossible.
Yeah, so that's why it's a little different from your typical kind of proof of stake. Did that kind of clear something up about this?
It clears a lot of it up,
but
it also makes it sound a lot more similar to the banking system. Because, I mean, their whole thing is that, we have our trusted partners, and our trusted partners have, they're part of our company, and we've checked their security and so on and so forth. And that's why, it's on this ledger that is a private ledger, not a distributed ledger. And this is part of our system, and they've authenticated and shown their security. Okay, they're allowed to change this ledger on our private ledger. So this kind of sounds like more similar to that as compared to, say, Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash or something.
We could get a little bit more into that, but I don't think it's anything like it, actually, because none of this is permission stuff, right? You can go spin up a masternode if you want.
Yeah, that is a huge difference, is that the bank, because this is thousands of independent or, you know, theoretically independent nodes, whereas theirs, I mean, even if it's 5,000 computers, it's all under one controller. So if that one controller says, I don't like you, you don't get to have this money, then you don't get to have this money, and you can't spend that no matter how hard you try.
Ryan, there's also... something that came along in recent years, if I recall correctly, that allows for people to take part ownership in a masternode. So the old way is you got to have 1,000 dash, but now you can team up with other people, I think with as little as one dash, right? There's some
like
organization.
A crowdsource a masternode?
Yeah, isn't that right?
Yeah, there's an organization called Crowdnode, mm-hmm. and they facilitate this. And there are two different types of services that they offer. The one that you just talked about where you can just deposit one dash and start getting a yield like up to, I think it's close to 6 or 7%, a yield on your one dash. You have to send that dash to Crowdnode. It is a trusted service.
Okay.
So it's not great in that sense, but at 100 dash, so not 10, but 100 dash, but certainly not 1,000. At 100 dash, you can set up what's called a trustless masternode share, and that is you can keep your 100 dash. You just have to do some signatures and stuff, and then you keep possession of your 100 dash, and you're getting the yield on it.
That's not bad. So $4,000 is probably within the range of. More people than 40,000. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So I mean, I think that does clarify that there is some, you know, decentralization to this system that is ultimately protecting the Dash network. I think we've talked about a lot of really interesting things here. Did you guys have any other final last minute questions for?
I've learned so much. I just want to say thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure being on, and happy to come on again if you guys ever have any questions. I didn't mean to necessarily be, talk about Dash so much on this. I think there is a grander vision here. Dash is just the vehicle that I choose to drive right now because it seems the most performant, along my goals. And my goal is not to just be a cheerleader for Dash. My goal is to have peace and prosperity in society. And that it will only occur, by creating a new economic system. Mm-hmm. The one that we have is unsalvageable.
Yeah.
You have to create a new one, and it has to be a viable one. And what the kind of the things that we've talked about today are, I would say, advanced level topics that a lot of cryptocurrency people would reject. But I think it's through my 10 years of experience, I think it really is the only way forward because we need to get more people into this economy. And to get more people into this economy, we need to pay more people in the currency. And to pay more people in the currency, you need to create more of the coins. That does sound like a disservice to the existing holders, but in the long run, that small amount of dilution, or even a large amount of dilution, is best for everyone, not just the new people that are getting new coins, but also the existing people.
It's an interesting argument. I appreciate it. Very persuasive. Thank you, Ryan, for joining us here tonight.
You're welcome.
Check
Thanks
them out at the Dash Incubator. Their Twitter account is at Dash Incubator. And we got more coming up here, and phones are going to be open. You can call in and bring up anything you want. You're on Free Talk Live at 603-283-6160. Hour number 3 is coming up.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of 3 major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.